This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
Tax season is upon us, and as those 2013 numbers float around in your head, there's already a major change to think about for 2014. It deals with Section 179. Rick Wagner is with Ide Bailey Tax Consultants.
In 2013, there was a 179 deduction where you could accelerate your depreciation and your write-off of your equipment. That was $500,000 as a limitation in 2013. Right now in 2014, that's only $25,000. Now, there are some momentum at the Congress to get that changed, but at this point it hasn't been changed. And so you're going to need to do some planning for that also on your equipment purchases.
Wagner says it's important to see your tax consultant more than just when it's time to do year-end numbers. At that point, they're just a scorekeeper. Get them involved with your tax strategy year-round. During a House Ways and Means Committee hearing on Tuesday, American Farm Bureau President Bob Stallman told members the Section 179 small business expensing should be made permanent at 2013 levels. The tax provision has allowed farmers and ranchers to expense certain purchases of assets.
Farm Bureau supports maintaining that with a cap of $500,000 per year. In other words, you could buy up to $500,000 worth of assets and be able to expense that amount in the first year, which would certainly help you bear the brunt of getting those assets to use in your business.
Stallman says farming and ranching is a capital-intensive business, and farmers and ranchers need the ability to upgrade and replace their equipment.
The tax benefit that is achieved by being able to expense these items allows producers an economic benefit that encourages them to purchase the equipment and keep their assets up to date so they can have a more productive farming operation.
Stallman says the foundation of the nation's economic prosperity is a tax policy that encourages business investment and economic activity.
The one thing we don't want are tax provisions or taxation that inhibits business activity.
American Farm Bureau President Bob Stallman. And here is your first weekly crop report of the state for the season. Spring weather brought severe storms and heavy rainfall to most of the state last week. Many producers took advantage of the few dry days and applied anhydrous to the fields they didn't get to in the fall. Statewide temperatures averaged 45.7 degrees, which is 1.6 degrees below normal. While most of the state experienced cooler weather, temperatures in the southwest and southeast districts were slightly above normal. Statewide precipitation averaged 2.09 inches, 1.41 inches above normal, with more than a 2-inch increase in the west-southwest, east-southeast, southwest, and southeast districts. Topsoil moisture was rated at 1% very short, 6% short, 74% adequate, and 19% surplus. Subsoil moisture was rated at 7% very short, 22% short, 64% adequate, and 7% surplus. Winter wheat conditions were rated at 3% very poor, 7% poor, 40% fair, 42% good, and 8% excellent. That's all for part one of this afternoon's farm show. Stay tuned for part two, coming up after this.
This is Wayne Schaefer, your country financial agent in Jerseyville. Farming is more than an occupation. It's a way of life. So when you want to protect your farm, it goes a lot deeper than protecting your crops, buildings, and machinery. You can't trust your farm protection to just anyone. You want an insurance company with decades of farm experience, like Country Financial. We have insured your parents' farm, even your grandparents' farm. So let us put 80 years of experience to work for you. Find out more about farm insurance from me, your country agent in Jerseyville. Give us a call at 498-5800.
Attention farmers, for help with your farm beds, hoist, tag, or pusher axles, lift gates, or any other truck-related equipment, call Carlinville Truck Equipment at 854-6706. They have a large supply of steel and aluminum toolboxes for your truck at competitive prices. They provide speedy and reliable service, and you'll find the staff friendly, courteous, and ready to serve your needs. Carlinville Truck Equipment, 217-854-6706. Visit ctemi.com for more information. Carlinville Truck Equipment.
Haul to Jersey County Grain's Hardin River Terminal and you'll save fuel, time, and headache. You won't have to fight traffic or wait in line forever either. Barge shipping rates are low and their prices usually beat the competition. Call Jersey County Grain in Jerseyville or Hardin, or check their website for quotes at jerseycountygrain.com. You can also get daily grain bids by email or text message. See Jersey County Grain for details.
Local problems may come in all shapes and sizes, but if you are an Illinois Farm Bureau member, you can find the help you need with local problems, no matter what their size. From property tax equity and landfill siting to land use development and groundwater protection, Illinois Farm Bureau is there for you when problems arise and you wonder where to turn. Illinois Farm Bureau works with you and with your state legislators, offering the expertise, resources, and problem-solving skills you need on local issues. Macoupin County Farm Bureau, where membership means solutions.
We've heard the crop report, but what does it mean for everyone? I spoke with market analyst for Water Street Solutions, Arlen Suderman, to see what the outlook is for the grain crops and livestock producers.
Yeah, absolutely. First condition report of the year for the winter wheat crop. Not any corn planting updates yet. That's expected to start next week, but USDA starting off with the winter wheat. Basically, it confirmed for us that the Plains winter wheat crop is in serious trouble, and that the Midwest crop right now is about an average crop, nothing to get too concerned about, nothing to get too excited about. So the real focus right now continues to be in the Plains. Overall, 35% good to excellent. That's down from 62% in November when the crop was entering dormancy. So this is a crop that had a rough winter and is showing the signs of it.
I think we all had a rough winter and can sympathize with the crop this year.
Absolutely.
Now, I know we haven't been able to get out and plant yet, but the sooner we can, the better it seems. I hear that we have shipped about 98% of our soybeans.
Absolutely. We're continuing to see seasonally strong, I should say, demand for soybeans and especially for soy meal. So that means exporters and crushers are both still fighting over a very limited supply of soybeans, and it has traders and farmers and end users all concerned about whether we're going to have enough to last through the second half of the marketing year. And in reality, I don't think we will without an increase in imports. And so that's why the trade has been expecting USDA to give us confirmation of that with its April crop report. The expectation is that we're going to have to significantly import, probably record imports of soybeans and soy meal in the second half of the marketing year. And so prices have to remain high enough to pay the freight of South American ships coming north. We've already had the first cargo of soybean enter the U.S. Gulf from Brazil on Saturday of last week, and there's going to need to be many more in order to fill the need.
So if we can't fulfill our export needs, we are going to need to start importing.
We had such an aggressive export season of both the product and of the whole beans in the first half that we didn't leave enough on the shelves to meet our own needs in the second half of the marketing year. So therefore, now we need to lean upon those South American supplies to get us through until our harvest arrives. Now, the futures, we had a similar situation a year ago, although not quite as tight. The futures market fairly much ignored it and allowed the cash market to pay the freight. So we had very strong basis through the summer. To this point, the futures market is behaving like it's willing to do the work this year, which means higher futures prices, lower basis, weaker basis overall.
What does that mean for feeding it to livestock?
Well, since we don't have enough to meet our needs, even with the problems with the hog numbers, the disease, and et cetera, we're still going to have to import, either be it soy meal or soybeans. And so that means that price has to stay elevated enough to pay the freight to bring it north from South America. And so what that means to the livestock producer is don't expect soy meal prices to just fall out of bed anytime soon. They're not going to be cheap through the summer, probably not until we get our own new crop supplies in the fall.
So even though livestock numbers are down, we're still looking at higher feed prices.
Yeah, unfortunately, that's the case. And the hog producer is going to pay the biggest price. Poultry is obviously has to pay the price for the protein as well, but I think poultry will be well positioned to get the demand from the shortage of beef and pork, and so that'll help soften the blow.
Again, that was Arlen Suderman of Water Street Solutions. That's all for this afternoon's Farm Show. For WSMI, I'm Angela Besh. Thanks for tuning in.